Welcome to the Tiger Shepherd Podcast, a podcast where you can find a little about everything leadership and more. Topics based on the experiences and knowledge attained by Andres Rendon. A creative by training and a leadership evangelist by heart, focusing on the philosophies that have worked in guiding large creative teams. And here are your hosts, Paula and Saul.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. You know, today we are going to be exploring the SCARF model.
Okay.
Which is this really fascinating tool, I think, to understand all of those social triggers that just drive our behavior, you know?
Yeah.
Like, ever just feel totally thrown by like a comment or just like a situation?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah. Well, SCARF can really help make sense of all those reactions.
Absolutely. And it's not even about like suppressing your emotions or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's more about like recognizing them and then labeling those feelings within these like five domains.
Okay.
And these domains are status certainty, autonomy relatedness, and fairness.
Got it.
So it's about like reframing those challenges and really just understanding what's actually going on.
That's really interesting. And, you know, I know you're really interested in how SCARF can help you find motivation.
Yes, especially when things are tough.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I think we're also curious about how, like, educators and leaders can use this knowledge to create more positive environments.
Yes, like especially that. For learning.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got some great sources for this deep dive.
Okay, great.
We've got David Rock's, like, original paper from the Neuro Leadership Journal.
Okay.
Which is way back in 2008.
Wow.
And then we've got this more recent piece that looks at, like, how we apply SCARF in, like, real-world settings.
Awesome.
So
let's just jump in.
Okay, so like the foundation of SCARF is this approach avoid response.
Right.
And it's like our brain's super fast threat detection system.
Yeah, it is.
Can you explain this a little bit more for us?
Well, just imagine like you're walking through the jungle.
Okay.
Your brain is constantly just scanning for danger, right?
Right.
And it quickly just like tags things as good to approach or bad to avoid.
Yeah.
This is what kept our ancestors alive, you know?
So, like, remembering which berries made you sick.
Exactly.
And avoiding those next time.
Yes, survival 101.
Right, exactly.
What's so fascinating, though, is that our brains, they use this same approach, avoid circuitry, for social situations, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Rock argues that this is actually because, like, you know, for our ancestors, social connection was, like, vital for survival.
Right.
Like, food or water.
So, like, being kicked out of the tribe back then was basically, like, a death sentence.
Basically. Yeah.
Makes sense that our brains would be like super sensitive to social cues.
Right. And that brings us to the five SCARF domains.
Okay, let's go.
So each one can trigger that good or bad response.
Mm-hmm.
And that impacts everything from like, you know, our motivation to our ability to learn.
Right.
And to collaborate effectively.
Okay, cool. Let's start with status.
Okay.
This one kind of surprised me, you know.
Yeah.
It's not just about ego or wanting to be like the top dog or anything.
No, it's much deeper than that.
Yeah.
Research shows that our perceived status actually impacts our health and longevity.
What, really?
Yeah. Primate studies by Robert Sapolsky actually found that like higher status monkeys had lower stress levels and lived longer.
Wow.
Even if their access to like food and resources was like the same.
So status is literally tied to our well-being.
Yes.
And I read somewhere that our brains actually process status using the same circuits as numbers.
That's right.
Really?
Think about it. Our brains, they love to quantify things.
Uh-huh.
So when we perceive a rise in status, it's like our brain is saying, chaching more status points.
I like it.
And that triggers like a dopamine release, you know, similar to winning a prize or getting a bonus.
So that feeling of accomplishment, like after finishing a tough project.
Uh-huh.
That's partly a status boost.
Absolutely.
I'm starting to see how this ties into motivation.
For sure, but here's the other side of that.
Okay.
Threats to our status can feel like actual physical pain.
Really?
Yeah, Naomi Eisenberger's research showed that social exclusion activates the same brain areas as physical injury.
Oh, wow.
So no wonder it feels so awful to be left out or ignored.
Like our brain is saying, ouch, social rejection hurts.
Right.
And thinking about your earlier point about educators, I can see how like unintentionally threatening a student's status could really impact their learning.
Exactly. Imagine a student struggling with like a math problem.
Okay.
And if the teacher's feedback focuses on their mistakes or compares them to other students, that could trigger a status threat.
Right.
And that makes them less likely to engage and learn.
So instead of saying you're not getting this,
right,
a more status aware approach might be like, you're on the right track.
Right.
Let's see if we can approach this a different way.
That's a great example.
Yeah.
It's all about providing support and encouragement while acknowledging their effort and progress,
Right.
even if they haven't fully grasped the concept yet.
This is really making me think about how I give feedback, both at work and in my personal life.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to be more mindful of potential status threats from now on.
For sure. Yeah. It's all about like framing things in a way that kind of minimizes that threat and maximizes reward.
Right.
So let's move on to certainty. Okay. So our brains are these like prediction machines, you know, constantly trying to figure out like what's going to happen next.
And when we can't predict what's coming,
yeah,
it just like throws our brains into this frenzy.
Yeah.
Like I hate not knowing what time a meeting will actually start.
Oh, yeah.
It drives me crazy.
That's a perfect example of how even these like small uncertainties can trigger that threat response. It's like your brain is throwing this error message, like, wait, unknown variable.
Right.
What's going to happen?
I can see it.
And that pulls your focus away from like whatever task is at hand.
So it's not just about being organized.
Right.
It's actually about how our brains are wired.
Exactly.
But, you know, I've noticed that sometimes I actually seek out certainty.
Yeah.
Like I'll listen to the same playlist over and over again or, you know.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Because when we know what to expect, you know, whether it's a familiar song or like a predictable routine, our brains can like relax and conserve energy.
Yeah.
It's like a mental sigh of relief.
This makes me think about those times when I felt really demotivated at work.
Yeah.
Maybe part of it was this lack of certainty about like what was expected of me or where the project was headed.
It's definitely possible. And think about the impact on learning, too, you know?
Right.
If a student doesn't know how they'll be graded or, like, what the learning goals even are, it just creates this unease that makes it harder to focus and absorb the information.
So how can, like, educators and leaders create more certainty in those environments?
Yeah.
Especially in today's world where things are changing so rapidly.
It's not even about pretending that we can predict the future,
right?
But rather like being really transparent about what we do know and what we don't know.
Right.
So setting those clear expectations is super crucial.
So even if like a teacher can't give all of the details about a big project, they could at least provide a timeline for when more information will be available.
Exactly. Or like in a company going through like restructuring, the leader could be upfront about the process, even if the final outcome is still uncertain.
Okay.
Just having a clear roadmap, even if it's subject to change, can reduce anxiety and help people feel more grounded.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. So we've talked about how our brains craves status and certainty.
Yeah.
But what about our need for control?
Right. That brings us to autonomy.
Okay.
The third domain in SCARF.
Okay.
This is all about feeling like we have choices and we're able to influence our own environment.
And I'm guessing this one is tied pretty closely to motivation.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, think about how many people leave stable jobs to start their own businesses.
Exactly.
Even if it means more risk and less financial security.
Right. You're absolutely right. The drive for autonomy can be incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
There's some fascinating research showing that even rats experience this. Yeah, in one study, rats that could control when they received electric shocks were far more resilient than those who had no control over it.
Oh, wow.
Even if they received like the same amount of shock.
So a sense of control can literally be life-saving.
It can be, yeah.
But in like a work or a learning environment, too much control can lead to chaos.
Right.
Right.
That's where like the art of leadership comes in. It's about finding that sweet spot, you know, between providing guidance and allowing people the freedom to make their own choices.
So instead of micromanaging every detail, a leader could like set clear goals and then just let the team figure out the best way to achieve them.
Exactly. And think about how this applies to education, too. You know, giving students choices within their learning journey can actually boost their motivation and engagement.
That makes sense.
It could be as simple as letting them choose which book to read for a report.
Right.
Or allowing them to design their own science experiments within certain parameters, of course.
This is really resonating with my own experiences.
Yeah.
I always felt more motivated in classes.
Yeah.
Where I had some say in like how I learned.
Of course.
Like that sense of ownership just made the learning more meaningful.
Absolutely. When we have autonomy, we're more likely to take responsibility for our actions and feel a sense of pride in our accomplishments.
Right.
This is like intrinsic motivation at its finest.
Okay. Two domains down, three to go. What's next on our SCARF journey?
So next up is relatedness.
Okay. I think we've all experienced this one, right?
Yeah.
That feeling of like connection, you know, of belonging to a group.
It's like hardwired into us, you know, from way back in our evolutionary past.
Right.
You know, back then being part of a tribe meant survival.
Right.
Strangers were potential threats.
Which explains why, like, walking into a party where you don't know anyone can feel so nerve-wracking.
Totally.
It's like our ancient threat detection system is on high alert.
Exactly. And on the other side of that, you know, when we feel connected to others, our brains release oxytocin.
Right.
You know, they call that the connection hormone.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, it plays a big role in building trust and fostering that sense of belonging.
This makes me think about the challenges of remote work and online learning.
Yeah.
Because it's so much harder to build those like face-to-face connections.
It is.
That trigger that oxytocin release.
It definitely is. But I think technology can help bridge the gap a little bit.
How so?
You know, video calls, even just casual virtual coffee breaks can go a long way in creating that sense of relatedness.
Right.
And also just sharing personal stories and finding that common ground.
Uh-huh.
You know, those things also strengthen those bonds.
So even in a virtual classroom, a teacher who takes a few minutes to like connect with students on a personal level can make a big difference.
Absolutely. Creating that sense of community, whether it's in person or online, is really crucial for fostering like a positive and supportive learning environment.
This reminds me of that Gallup research showing that companies that encourage social interaction actually see higher productivity.
That's so true.
So it seems like relatedness isn't just about like feeling good.
Right.
It's also good for business.
Yeah. It's true. When people feel connected, they're more likely to collaborate effectively and, you know, support each other and just go the extra mile.
Right.
It's a win-win for everyone.
Okay. On to our final domain, fairness.
Okay.
I'm really curious about this one. After reading that study where people felt more rewarded receiving 50 cents than $10.
It all comes down to perceived fairness.
Okay.
You know, in that study, the 50 cents was given in a context that felt more equitable.
Uh-huh.
So that triggered a stronger reward response in the brain than the larger but like seemingly less fair sum of money.
So it's not just about getting what we want.
Right.
It's about feeling like things are like balanced and just.
Exactly.
That makes sense when I think about how passionately people advocate for social justice or fight against corruption.
Exactly. When we perceive unfairness, it triggers a strong threat response.
Really?
Yeah. Research has shown that even the brain areas that are associated with disgust can actually light up when we experience injustice.
Wow. So how can leaders, especially those who are trying to inspire creativity and innovation, how can they leverage this understanding of fairness?
Transparency is key.
Oh.
You know, when people understand the reasoning behind decisions, even if they don't agree with the outcome, it feels less threatening.
Okay.
And then also open communication and clear expectations.
Right.
Those play a big role in preventing feelings of unfairness.
And giving people a voice in the decision-making process can also increase their sense of fairness and ownership.
For sure. Like those companies that let employees vote on new policies or initiatives.
Exactly.
It's about creating that culture of respect and inclusivity where everyone feels heard and valued.
Wow. This has been an incredible deep dive into the SCARF model.
Yeah, it has.
I feel like I have this whole new understanding of how our brains react to social situations.
Me too. The key takeaway here is that recognizing and labeling those feelings within these five domains can really help us navigate challenges more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
It lets us respond thoughtfully instead of just reacting emotionally.
And for leaders and educators, understanding SCARF is like having a secret weapon.
Yeah.
To motivate people, create positive environments, and really unlock their full potential.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been a fascinating exploration. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the SCARF model. We'll see you next time for another insightful journey into the world of knowledge.
The Tiger Shepherd podcast is created by Andres Rendon and brought to you by Podbean. Executive producer is Andres Rendon. Hosted by Paula and Saul AI. Written and produced by Andres Rendon. Edited by Apple. Sound design by Google Notebook. Original score by Pixabay. Music by Alexei Chistolin and Ivan Ohanazov. Cover artwork by Andres and AI. On behalf of the Tiger Shepherd podcast, thanks for listening.